Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Report. It is Sunday, March the 20th, the first day of spring. Loving it. It is so beautiful. I am broadcasting outdoors. I literally just finished raking probably about 45 minutes ago the front yard. So it's all neat and manicured and beautiful. So now I need to tackle the back. But thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. And let's talk all things sports and hot topics. So many breaking stories, so many hot topics, so much on all of our minds, right? So be sure to dial in at 516-595-8255. Must shout out my co-host, Cousin Linda Oliver, native of Jackson, Mississippi, and of Dallas currently, and also Michael Stevens, whose birthday is today. So I'm not surprised he is not here with us because he's out celebrating his birthday in the D.C. area in Maryland. So a big shout out to both of them. We had an awesome show on Friday night talking about our veterans, our United States veterans, and the Ukraine war and all and hot topics. But it was a very interesting show if you did not hear it. And the show concluded before I could provide some of the resources that I wanted to provide also. So I will discuss those resources that I did not get a chance to share before the show concluded. And also, let's talk all things sports. So the title of the show is, so who's really surprised that Tom Brady is unretired? And I heard a story this morning that Tom Brady gifted the gentleman that bought that last ball. He gifted him with some things, and so that's good. I heard the list of things, so I need to pull that up. I know coins that maybe like 40 grand and a few other things, and because the guy thought he had this the ball, but there would be more balls. So Tom Brady did give him some things for that. So still, that ball is still a big deal. So he should definitely hold on to that ball, don't you all think? It's still a big deal. Really, it is. So it might not be the ball. So whoever will get that ball in 2 to 3 years when Tom really does retire, you know, it remains to be seen. But he definitely should hold on to that. And that's good that Tom considering, which we know, you know, he's a sweet guy. So so that's good to make that type of gesture. And I'm sure the guy probably will get more if he, he's not a season ticket holder, will become a season ticket holder now. But again, thank you for tuning in to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. There are birthdays everywhere. It even is the show's birthday tomorrow. Yesterday was my brother's, Harry. Many of you call him. I call him Wyatt, Harry McCall. Yesterday was his birthday. A newborn is coming into the family this week. That's all I can say. And so many birthdays. A great nephew had a birthday. I just made an announcement in the project group that we need to celebrate his birthday on April the 19th. Terry's birthday, my guy. Now, Terry's birthday is April the 13th, the same as my brother-in-law and my mentor in Dallas. So big shout out to he at his store out of Africa Imports at Traders Village, Grand Prairie. They're celebrating spring break and the big grand opening of the amusement park and the roller coaster, the screamer. But so while you're out having fun at Traders Village in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, definitely go see him. There are three loved ones' birthdays on April the 13th. Terry, my brother-in-law, my mentor, Tommy, and my son, my brother's son, Maurice, three birthdays on 13th. My sister's birthday is April 1st, April Fool's Day. Last year, it was on Easter also. You know, mother's birthday was all either sometimes fell on Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving, November 22nd. And then my sister's birthday is, you know, kicking off spring. Last year was Easter. My birthday is in August. No holidays in the month of August, but I turned that month into a holiday. I mean, there's 4th of July, and then there's Labor Day, and then there's you know, special days like National Teacher's Day or National Lollipop Day. You know, it's days, every day is some type of holiday, but there are no major holidays in my birthday month. But we're talking about you March and spring, in the winter, early spring babies, so we're shutting you all out. Big shout out to Marie Butler and everyone at Manoia, Miss Carolyn at her school in Clinton, Mississippi. Shout out to Olga Nation, Dallas, and Texas, throughout Texas. Shout out to you guys. Look forward to seeing you all soon. Shout out to Kenny Stokes. I had thought about going to his crime summit today. There's a crime summit going on right now. It started at 2:30. At the Little Lonnie Park on Edwards Avenue here in Jackson, Mississippi. So much violence is going on, and we definitely need to have a round table talk right here on Culture Shock Entertainment Reports regarding how can we solve this problem of wars on our streets, in our cities, and in our towns, too. I just read a sad story where a reporter that worked for CNN as an assistant was gunned down early Saturday morning in Virginia. And it was so sad, she was called to cover the story. Her colleagues did not get a response from her, so they called another reporter to handle the story. Then they found out, sadly, why they didn't get a response from her. Because she and two of her guys had been shot down leaving a restaurant. One guy died on the scene. She died at the hospital. So sad. Excuse me, I had to take a sip of water. You all remember. I mean, you know, things are better, but then also surges are happening. Let's still have that mindset. Drink plenty of water, H2O, sanitize, social distance when you can. And a lot of people are not social distancing And I keep hearing about little pockets of surges happening. And I listened to Fosse on ABC this morning. And so he is serious about us still taking it seriously. You know, he was asked the question, the pandemic was ending anytime soon. You know, he did not say it's ending anytime soon. Because when it ends, I mean, he looks forward to taking time off or retiring or something, scaling down his hours. That's not in his plans right now. So we're still in pandemic stage. Because what's the next word after a pandemic? Endemic? We're still in pandemic stage, regardless of the declines. And also, we're dealing with still dealing with sub-variants. And there are sub-variants that are being watched in other countries. And so, you know, we're living this new normal. But we cannot put our guards down. We still need to be mindful and safe and use our own common sense. Also, regardless of what the mandates, what's going on with the mandates, regardless if you're anti or pro-vaccination or not, if you're vaccinated or not, it's still important for us all to be mindful of our health and the health of our loved ones and those that we come in close contact with. Really, I'm not claiming to be an expert. So you all can call in. We're talking about that. Let's take a moment of silence now for world peace, for America, for the entire world, for Russia to have a change of heart. Peace. Yes. May God grant me the words, speak his thoughts. Thank you. Virginian pilot reporter and former CNN news assistant, Sierra reporter and former CNN news assistant, Sierra was the individual shot and killed in early Saturday morning shooting at one more person dead and three others injured in Norfolk, Virginia, police said. And I had a picture that I'm looking at. She looked like she just had a bright future ahead of her. She was only 25, and Jenkins was leaving a downtown Norfolk restaurant, Chico's. It sounded like it was an awesome place, too, with that name. When an argument started outside the establishment, followed by gunfire. I wonder if they were bystanders. Officers responded to the scene around 2 a.m. and found Jenkins and two men with life-threatening gunshot wounds. One of the men, 25-year-old Devon M. Harris, pronounced dead on the scene. And the second was transported to the hospital, believed in the news release. Jenkins was also transported to the hospital, where she later died. Two men found by police shot wounds were also taken to the hospital for treatment, according to the police. Jenkins was a bright and talented woman with so much promise, said Virginia Pilot Editor-in-Chief Chris Worrell. Her passion for journalism was undeniable, and our community better fit her importance. She brought both energy and empathy to her work as an education reporter. To have the life of such a talented young person cut short is devastating, Worrell added. Our thoughts are with Sierra's family and all of those who knew and loved her. We are absolutely heartbroken. This is crazy. After hearing about the shooting, a newspaper editor attempted to contact Jenkins, who was on breaking news shift. Saturday morning, she was on breaking news shift. But they couldn't reach her, Roy told CNN. When he didn't hear back, we called in another reporter, Worrell said. Reporting the story of the shooting, Sarah was one of the victims. Jenkins has also been an editorial research intern with CNN for 3 months in the summer 2020 and a news assistant with CNN Health from September to December 2020. She began her job at the Virginia Pilot shortly after as a breaking news reporter. Jenkins had recently been reporting on school policies and issues across the region, the newspaper said on Facebook. She had also previously worked as an editorial researcher at Atlanta Magazine. Everyone loved her, her father says. Speaking to the Virginia Pilot newspaper, Virginia's father, Maurice Jenkins, described his daughter as a hardworking young woman who loved being a journalist. She wasn't much of a going out kind of person at all. Maurice Jenkins said, he said her childhood best friend was in town and two decided to go out together. Everyone loved her. He said she was such an energetic, caring, and giving person, a real go-getter. She'll do anything for anyone. Both Virginia's governor and Norfolk's Commonwealth attorney expressed their condolences to the families of the victims on Saturday. Locally, we will do our utmost to seek justice and accountability with the laws we have, but the solutions to gun violence, store up gun personal choices, and sensible reforms tie national and state laws to keep guns out of the hands of bad actors. We must come together. Amen to that. Ramin Fatiha, Norfolk Commonwealth attorney, said on Twitter. Authorities say they're continuing to investigate the shooting and are asking the public to come forward with any information. Wow. So send condolences to her family. That is so sad. So sad. Yes. Look like we have Linda on air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you? Glad to hear from you. I didn't know if you were calling in or not.
Yeah, I saw your message where you said you were broadcasting today. And
yes.
I'm sorry I was setting in on such a sad story. I hadn't heard
what?
That, and I just happened to that you had posted it on Facebook. Yeah, I hadn't heard it.
Yeah, I had tagged you on it. I was like, oh, yeah, I sent right before broadcast time, and I'm like, oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had the news off and on today, and everything is, of course, Ukraine. So I hadn't seen this until you tagged me on it.
Yeah, I had not seen it either because, you know, I call us talking about uplifting things, sports and hot topics, yay. Stay with, staying in trouble, and praying for
yeah.
you. I thank you and Michael for a marvelous show on Friday night. That was fantastic, and those that didn't listen, they definitely need to listen to it.
Yeah, we had a real serious discussion about our veterans, and it's just tragic the way we're having these I don't know what you call them, crashes, you know, helicopters and all that stuff. When
yes.
they're training. Yeah.
Yes, and that happened after our broadcast, didn't it? The incident that happened the other night.
Yeah, it did. And it's bad enough to be killed in combat, but to be killed on your own soil in a training expedition or whatever, to
right.
me, it's even worse. Yeah, you don't expect anything to happen when you're on your own soil and you're not in combat. At least I wouldn't think that you would think something would happen, something tragic.
Training in Norway, and yes, and
mm-hmm.
but reporters and cadets have state soldiers have
mm-hmm.
stated that the weather in that area can be beautiful in one minute. And change the next minute. So I'm wondering, why do they choose to train in right there if the weather changes so quickly? I mean, I know they want to be in like the worst type of conditions, but that seems like that's not a good thing to do, to train
right.
in that environment.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say as well. And especially since they have these simulations, you know,
yes.
like airline pilots train on simulators. I'm not saying all of their training is on simulators, but it can
right.
be done.
Right.
So why risk lives, especially young, innocent lives like that, in uncertain conditions?
Yes. You and Michael brought up good points on Friday night. It makes you say, like Arsenio Hall used to say on his late night show. So I hope they stop that. Immediately stop that training, right? Stop it. Go elsewhere.
And check out those helicopters, because, I mean, they've been crashing for years.
Yes.
Even
not in bad weather. Right.
Right.
So I wonder, so they need to just discontinue their training immediately. So I wonder what are their plans.
I don't know. And it seems like it wasn't a lot of news coverage on it either. It's like, okay, we're going to report this story and then move on to something else.
You're right.
I think we need to have an investigation.
It's very scattered. It's very scattered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to have some investigations into why these helicopters are crashing, why our personnel are training in iffy conditions. Who is responsible for putting them in those unsafe environments?
Right, and to see, it is just beautiful there. The reporters that I've seen interviewed spoke as if it terrifies them to even cover stories when they go there, because the weather is beautiful 1 second and the next is dangerous. But again, like you and Mike discussed on Friday, if they complain, I don't know, you might get a dishonorable discharge or something.
Yeah.
But your life is in danger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's training. That's not actually on the field.
That's a double-edged sword. Yeah.
Right. So we're asking you all, who, if anybody, with any power listening, please discontinue that training in that area and train somewhere else.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. They probably saying, who are you all to tell us what to do? But, I mean, really, it's training.
We may be backseat drivers or Monday morning quarterbacks or whatever, but we're entitled to our opinions. And we can give another perspective to dangerous situations.
Right. Four families now are in grief.
Yeah.
Because of training, not defending the country, but because of training.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, yes, praying for world peace, praying for Ukraine, but also praying for this war that we have going on streets of America.
Isn't that horrible?
Yes. Because we're dealing with the war right here.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why people think that's the way they have to settle differences. And sometimes it's not even about a disagreement. It's, gang-related, retaliation, crazy.
Yes, Kenny Stokes is having a crime summit right now, because I had thought about going to it. Right now in Brown Bottom, off of Bailey Avenue, Edwards Avenue, off of Edwards Avenue, Little Lonnie. Remember the rapper that was killed a few years ago? There's a park that they named after him, Little Lonnie Park. Edwards Avenue, cross from Verdant Dishon, off of Bailey Avenue and off of Northside Drive. Yeah, he's having a crime summit right now. Yeah, he's real vocal. Last week he was supposed to introduce an ordinance to city council, but, you know, they're fussing so much over garbage. So I don't know if they were able to approve it or disapprove it. But I hope it passes. He has an ordinance that he would like parents to be held accountable for the crimes of these kids, and I 1,000% agree with him.
I do too.
And so he's praying that law enforcement and the police department and, you know, the sheriff department and the state and all support it. Because so these parents,
do you remember? I guess about 20-30 years ago, they used to say parents, it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They need to bring that back.
Yes, they need to bring that campaign back.
Because if you don't know where your children are, the police is going to locate them and put them in jail. You know, come up with something, a vagrancy, loitering, or something, and make the parents inconvenience them and make them come and get these kids. Well, they act like grown folks. Come
right.
and get them out of detention or jail or something. And once they have to do that 3 or 4 times and pay some fines, I think they'll get a grip and try to keep up with their children and their activities.
Right. Right. And remember those documentaries, Scared Straight? They need to scare straight some of these jokers, too.
They do. But you know, I don't think they have any fear of prison now. Maybe back then, but it seems like, you know, they go to jail and they're all happy and comfortable as long as somebody is putting some money on their books and they can go to the commissary and they can watch TV. They have all kind of programs that they participate in, and the education in prison is really good. You know, they can get law degrees and stuff in prison.
Right.
So prison is not a place of punishment. You know, they come up with this stuff about rehabilitation. Some people are incorrigible. They can't be rehabilitated. They don't want to be rehabilitated. It's like they go in, serve part of the sentence, knowing they're going to get out in maybe a year and a half or whatever, and resume committing crimes. You know, they like that recidivism. Okay, I'm out now. I'll commit some more crimes, go back to prison, and it's just a revolving door. They don't see anything wrong with that, and we need to change that way of thinking.
Right. So true. And then here are the ones that have paid their debt to society that that can't vote. I think Florida have passed it where some can, but I know in the state of Mississippi, if you paid your debt to society, you can't vote. And I think I've seen a story about a young lady in Dallas last year. She paid her debt of serving time in jail and can't. But those that, I mean, if you want to go to jail, think about it. You're going to lose your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
When you get out, you can't vote. You can't do it. I mean, do you really want to deal with that? If you do get out.
Some of them probably didn't vote and don't intend to vote anyway. We need to think of some kind of way that's going to make them not want to go to prison in the first place.
Right.
I think if you pay your debt to society, you should be allowed to vote. But I mean, just look at the caliber of people who are committing these crimes and going to prison. I don't think they're your average citizen, your average law-abiding citizen who's concerned with voting.
Right.
They seem to be just hardened criminals. Because we're not talking about robbing the little old lady coming from the bank or pigeon dropping. A lot of people out there probably don't know what pigeon dropping is.
Right.
But you know, crimes from back in the day, confidence men, swindlers, that sort of thing. You know, like
con artists. She's talking about
con
artists that would just con you out of everything. And it's scammers, what people say nowadays.
But we're talking about murderers, people committing heinous crimes. And they don't just murder, you know, they bludgeon you to death and dismember your body, all kinds of crazy stuff.
And here in Jackson, and it's children, young adults. I mean, like, okay. They're not stealing bicycles anymore. They're carjacking and taking people's lives.
At gunpoint, yes. So I think we need to come up with some kind of way that would make them less inclined to commit these crimes. You know, fix it so they don't want to go to prison, that they want to do the right thing.
And then don't be an embarrassment. I think this audience, I hope, if they have any kind of conscience, but you make a good point. And I'm not naive, but I'm a hopeful person. I know you are too. But it should make them think, I don't want to embarrass my parents. I don't want to embarrass my neighbors. I don't want to embarrass myself. That should be embarrassing.
That was a big concern. Yeah, that was a big concern for us when we were growing up, you know.
Growing up at age 53, I'm still concerned. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to embarrass my neighbors. I don't even want to embarrass my right now. The way I was raised, I still always feel like somebody's watching me. You better be on your best behavior.
When I would be coming in,
the JPD passes by now. Thank you, JPD.
Yeah,
hello.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, JPD passing by. I'm outside.
Oh goodness. Yeah, when I was coming in from the club, like maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, my mama would say, "Now, what will the neighbors say?"
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. We need to get that back in.
Yeah, you didn't want the neighbors saying, "Girl, did you see her coming in late last night?"
Right. Now these kids would say, "What the blank you looking at? Mind your business."
And shoot you for looking at them.
Right. But right, how can we get that back into our young people? Because I know you asked me about a year ago, what can we do? What can we do? And I said something about meeting. You were like, "Well, meeting's not doing anything." But
no.
What can we do to instill that? That what is it? Pride? Self-respect?
I don't know. That's the $64,000 question.
Right, like your mom. Like Aunt Helen, like your mom. And my mom used to say, you know, carry yourself in a respectful way. What will the neighbors think? What do you think of yourself? Right.
Exactly. You know, because they say once you lost your reputation, that was it. You couldn't get it back.
Right. And the skincare expert, Edgar Morris always said, you remember those infomercials? You don't get a second chance for a first impression. So I don't know. What are they thinking?
Nothing. They're not thinking. They have no home training, no upbringing. You know, and that used to be fighting words. You don't have home training. No, I'll beat your behind. You talk about my mama. You better not say nothing about my mama.
Right.
Well, that doesn't matter. Okay, so what if they don't have home training? They don't care. That doesn't mean anything to them. They probably don't even know what home training is. Just disrespectful and proud to be disrespectful.
But then you know what I think about, too? The parents and the guardians and the community leaders that do. Some of them do know better. I think about those. I know their parents raised. I know your parents raised you better. I know their parents raised them good. Then that sign is their own thing.
Maybe
there's
the peer pressure.
There's the ones that don't care, but then there's the ones that they've tried. And some of those might be the ones that are mad, don't want an audience. Ordinance, because they might say, "Well, I've done the best I can." But that's to help them. That's like a backup.
Well,
for them.
You need to do better. The best that you can do is not good enough. You need to do something else.
Right. Because kids should not be carjacking people, taking people lives, taking people valuables that they have worked hard for.
Well, remember back in the late 70s, especially early 80s, when children, and I call them children, I guess maybe from 12 to 15 juveniles, were killing other juveniles to take their Jordans and their gold necklaces and their jogging suits.
Yes.
And nobody put a stop to that. That continued until they decided to move on to bigger and better things. You know, we'll just take your car. And this juvenile justice system, I think we need to just do away with that, because you don't have people stealing hubcaps now, or maybe a little light breaking and entering and steal a little jewelry out of somebody's house. I mean, we have people committing heinous crimes, and that to me is not juvenile. That is adult, and you should treat it like adult.
True. Because these crimes are not juvenile crimes. These are adult crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a time, the beautiful Patty Woods of school, you know, there was, but their waiting list is forever, and then those students come from around the world. But there was a time when a child might have a problem with dealing with regular school, then trying to get them in Piney Woods, and those with the criminals that commit crime could go to, like, Oakley Training School here in Mississippi.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sure other
Oakley
states have similar schools, too. Yeah.
Oakley Training School used to scare your sister, your late sister Diane, and me just out of our minds. If we were cutting up, yeah, you know, if we were cutting up or what they call sassing your mama or whatever. Uh-huh. Now, my mother did do it, but your mother was bad about talking about going to send us to Oakley Training School.
Right, in Piney Woods.
Baby, we weren't scared of Piney Woods. It was Oakley Training School.
Right, because Piney Woods was some awesome students.
We straighten up and fly right, as they say.
But I think Oakley just for boys. Is it for girls?
No, we heard that Oakley Training School, they beat you.
Oh!
And treat you like you were in grown folks' prison and stuff.
Well, it's like boot camp.
And
that
so
scared you
off
straight.
It sure did. Just the thought of going there. Okay, whatever we were doing, I can't think of us doing anything that would warrant that kind of punishment. But your mother used to threaten us with that. Whatever we were doing, which probably wasn't nothing but talking loud or maybe jumping on the furniture. Really, when you look back on it,
we need to bring that back. We need to bring that back.
Yeah, it's way too late for that now. You know, they're not afraid of going to Parchman. They're not afraid of any kind of prison. Sing Sing, Rikers.
Right.
That doesn't frighten them anymore. Because if prison frightened people, I don't think we'd have all these crimes.
I don't think so either. And now prison is a big business. It's a big private business. Mm-hmm. It's a big public business. Mm-hmm. It's big business for America.
Yeah.
So, yeah, true. And if people would realize that, too, think about it. You're buying into this system. It's slavery. If people would just see what you're doing.
Yeah, people don't, you know, we call it in the system, and they don't seem to have a problem with being in the system. It's like they have a bail bondsman on call. They have an attorney on call. And, okay, if I go to jail, I know Big Mama, great-grandmama, somebody is going to pay the lawyer and the bail bondsman. I'm going to be out on the street, and the court system is so clogged up, it may be months and months and months before they even get around to your trial. So you out there steady committing more crime.
And you should Big Mama and Nana putting her house up, or Uncle putting their house up for your crazy behind.
And if you got enough money to pay a good lawyer, you know, you can get baby's kids off. Because they were saying, you know, the prisons are overcrowded. We don't have anywhere to put them.
You make a good point, because the kids do have this mentality. I ain't worrying about my mama, no judge, so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad.
Yeah. It is.
I ain't worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
Are we have that. We know attorney so-and-so. Attorney so-and-so handle it.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. They got a bail bondsman on speed dial. They got a lawyer on speed dial. And the system is saying we don't have anywhere to house them, so they just commit crimes, you know, with reckless abandon. They know there's no repercussions, no no deterrent. I can't think of anything that, if you're one of those hardened criminals, I just can't think of anything that would deter you from committing crimes. Because, you know, cold-blooded murder these days, it's sad to say, is like jaywalking.
Yes. Right.
You know, I mean, I don't even want to jaywalk. They give you tickets in Dallas for jaywalking. I don't even want a ticket.
Exactly. That's what I try to tell people. Because even in Jackson, when I'm crossing the street and it's not at the appropriate area, I'm thinking Dallas. Like, okay, wait a second. I need to go where I need to go. Because Dallas
was... to that height.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because when I moved here, they told me what
people.
Yeah, you know, they were like, don't jaywalk. I'm like, why? Why can't I jaywalk? I haven't heard that since I was in elementary school. You know, they get you to jaywalking because you will get a ticket. You will be fined, and you have to go to court, and you have to pay a ticket. I'm like, for jaywalking?
And those of you that have never been to Dallas, you'll understand why when once you're in Dallas and you walk.
Mm-hmm.
You understand, because the drivers don't play. The drivers do not play. If you're a pedestrian, you better walk in a pedestrian place.
Yeah, because pedestrians don't get anything. I was talking to somebody, and two people I know in Dallas, and you know one very well, Bethany.
Yes, my sister was hit before.
Yes,
my sister was hit before, and I don't even think she was jaywalking.
And did not get any money.
And she's still bothered by that, too.
Yes. And, I mean, yeah, the poor victim is the one who has to pay the price for getting hit. And when I first moved here, I was very disappointed to find that Dallas is not a pedestrian-friendly city, because people would see you crossing the street even where you're supposed to at designated places, and they would actually speed up and try to hit you.
Wow.
I was just blown away.
But think so, because Dallas have nice
sidewalk
areas.
Yeah.
Yes, but you would think it would be pedestrian-friendly.
Well, that's another thing I noticed, that there are quite a few sidewalks here, and it's probably because they are not pedestrian-friendly.
Oh,
so
well, Jackson is trying to upgrade, but so you believe Dallas need more sidewalks, okay.
No, that's not what I'm saying. When I first moved here, I noticed they had quite a few sidewalks.
Oh, okay.
And then I realized it must be because this is not a pedestrian-friendly street. You know, like in Jackson, where there are very few sidewalks. You know, people are reluctant to hit you. They will go around you, at least when I was living there. People did not try to deliberately run over pedestrians. In Dallas, they do.
Right,
they
see what you're saying, like Death Race 2000. Like Death Race 2000, yes. Wow.
Yeah, they don't care if they hit pedestrians, and I guess it's because they're not punished.
But
here
they're trying to upgrade the sidewalks, and people do get hit because they're in the street or on the frontage road, and they get smashed because a driver didn't see them.
Yeah. Well, there's nowhere for them to walk. Because that was one of my complaints living in Georgetown. You know, there are very few sidewalks in Georgetown, but in West Jackson, there were plenty of sidewalks.
Oh, yes. So true. Wow. So those are good points. I know some people in wheelchairs are concerned, even in Dallas and here in Jackson, and I'm sure all across America, not only pedestrians, but then people that use motorized wheelchairs, they're often concerned too.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, here, you know, people speed in Dallas. I see them all the time speeding through school zones.
Exactly.
Speed limit is 20, and they feel like they need to do 30. And I'm like, where are you going that you got to speed through a school zone during school hours?
So I wonder what other major cities have jaywalking laws.
I don't know.
Wow. But if you've never been to Dallas, you'll find out quickly why there are jaywalking laws. Wow. Because don't mess with Texas. Mm-hmm. So.
No, I think. Huh?
Well, okay, what's on your mind?
Oh, I was just going to say, I think it's totally different in California because I remember your father went to California way back there. And he was saying that you dare not hit a pedestrian, so you better go all out of your way to prevent hitting a pedestrian in California because they put you in jail for that. But here, you know, you can run over a pedestrian and nothing happens to you.
You know, I think I've noticed that. California will not play when it comes to that. I've noticed that. They care about pedestrians.
Yeah, that's what your father
told me. Wow. Wow, and that was a long time ago. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And once you bring that up, I kind of can see that, too. They do care for pedestrians.
Mm-hmm.
And bikers. And bikers, you know, and you would think Dallas would care about bikers because a lot of people love to bike in Dallas.
Mm-hmm, they don't. But here, a lot of joggers used to like to be out in the street jogging, you know, rather than on the sidewalk, they'd be jogging along the sidewalk on the street. And the police would stop them for that. So if you're going to jog,
in Dallas, I prefer sidewalk areas. When I go walking and jogging.
They have a lot of trails now, walking trails, bike trails, and that sort of thing. Yeah. So even though they got a nice little walking trail up here where I live, but I don't feel safe on them.
Right.
Even though
it's
very safe. It's very safe. It's open, you know. It's not covered up by a lot of trees or anything, but I just don't take chances. I'd rather take my chances on the sidewalk on the street.
I'm a person that likes parks and trails. And I'm a person that likes parks and like trails. But you're right. I mean, I don't even just say going to Hyco Park. And anybody that knows me know how much I love Hyco Park. And I haven't been up there, and I'm scared in a way. I want to start walking and walk up there, but it's scary now.
Yeah, because, see, when I would go walking, especially when Corona first hit Dallas, and I'd go walking real early in the morning, 5:30, I didn't feel afraid because there are so many places that's open that time of morning here. You know, we have 7-Eleven, Kroger would be open, Krispy Kreme Donuts is like 2 minutes walk from where I am, and it's 24 hours. And just so many businesses, I felt like I could run into one of the businesses or whatever. Whereas on that trail, there's nothing or nobody out there to help you.
Right.
And the Katy Trail, folks were constantly getting accosted on the Katy Trail and some of these other trails. And I said, well, no, that's a little too confined and closed off. Let me be out in the open.
And when I would visit Beverly, when she lived in Dallas, close to Bachman Lake, I loved Bachman Lake, walking Bachman Lake or around the lake. Wow. But you can't even feel safe at parks like that now. You can't even feel safe because it's open and a lot of people, but you just can't. You can't feel safe anywhere. Now I understand mall walkers. You know, the people that meet up and go walk in the mall before the mall opens.
I understand that, too.
Now I understand the mall walkers.
A friend of mine used to walk at Jackson Medical Mall.
Yes. Many probably still do. Cause that's a nice mall to walk at, the medical mall. I know many walk in North Park. Probably many at Galleria. Once you leave where?
I was just going to say, once you leave Jackson Medical Mall, you got to risk your life trying to get to your car to go home.
Right. And look, that might be the safest area, one of the safest areas in the city, sadly.
The Medical Mall bordered by Livingston Road, Bailey Avenue, and Woodrow Wilson.
Right. You know, they're building a new subdivision. They're building a new subdivision right there where the Hood building used to be. $250,000 and up family home. It's going to be a gated community.
When I saw that on Facebook or online or something, and I was like, well, who in their right mind would pay that for that location?
You sound like my brother when we drove past there a couple of weeks ago, and he still can't understand why that expensive subdivision is coming to that area right there. The mayor is excited, and the investors, whoever the developers are, they're excited to put this.
They must be from out of town, and they saw that land and say, oh, let's develop this, and then they never, ever did any studies on Jackson, Mississippi.
Right.
That's why, I mean, I can't understand why anybody with money would want to plant some roots in that location.
Right, 250 grand and up.
They need to develop the neighborhood first.
Yes.
You know, before they go sticking some high-priced real estate up in there.
It's going to be a gated community. Gated, too, at
that. That doesn't mean a thing. It all
right.
is gated for those kinds of prices.
But my brother and I, we were trying to figure that out, too. Well, you know, the angle that they are coming from. Because, yes, you're right. Did they do any in-depth research? And the mayor is really excited. So
I'm not surprised that anything y'all's mayor does. He fell out of favor with me years and years ago.
But he's really excited and that's a whole other story. Tomorrow is the big day we find about the garbage pickup contract. Because, you know, everybody's suing everybody. You know, while all this killing is going on, our council people and the mayor cannot come to agreement with this garbage contract. So finally tomorrow, a chancery clerk judge will make the decision.
Well, I hope he didn't
say the deadline is near, and we're just concerned that there won't be a garbage pile up.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't.
Because I can't think of a mayor before that will let, and city council, that will let our garbage not be picked up. From his dad to Frank Melton to Dale Danks. I probably was a baby. Who was mayor when I was born? Davis? My memory goes back to Dale Danks.
Last one that I remember, but you should remember because wasn't Dale Danks mayor in the late 70s, early 80s?
Yeah, I remember Dale Danks, but I don't really remember the mayor before him.
Let me see, mayor.
Was it Davis? Was it Russell Davis the mayor before him? Was Russell Davis
I don't know why. I can't remember the recent mayors because I can remember them from way, way, way back. But I can't remember.
He would have been the early 70s.
You had Kane Ditto.
We had Kane in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
We had him after Danks.
I don't know. I can't remember anybody but Dale Danks. I remember when Kirksey was running for mayor.
Yeah, and Dara Smith was the first black city council woman, right? And she was with Dale Danks administration.
So.
Let me see. Who was mayor early? I think it was Russell Davis, but I remember as far back as Danks.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of, and I'm sure you can't think of a mayor that was out garbage. And Dale Danks, he was strict about keeping the city. I do remember this. He was strict about keeping the city clean. He had street cleaners, street washers. I mean, trucks would literally hold up traffic cleaning the streets.
Whoever was mayor prior to my leaving in 81, Jackson was a very nice city. It was clean. It was safe. It was beautiful.
Yes.
And I just don't know what happened after I left.
Yes, he died in 1993. He was mayor a long time. Russell C. Davis. So his middle name was Carlos. That's who the planetarium is named after him. He was mayor from 69 to 77. So that means Dale Danks became mayor in 77.
Okay.
So he was mayor from 69 to 77. How many terms was that? That seemed like more than two terms.
Yeah.
79 to 77. They must have changed the terms after him.
Yeah. The governor could serve only one term. And they changed it so your governor can serve two terms. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Jackson was nice once upon a time. Very nice. I used to love to brag on my city.
Yes.
But I just hang my head in shame.
What do you think happened? When I was at Hines and Jackson, I was always, by Dr. Cooley always talked about urban blight. So this thing like deeper than urban blight.
Yes, it has passed urban blight. It looks like a war zone to me. I used to say it looked like Beirut. It looks like Ukraine now.
And I have friends that live in Dallas that call, and I think I don't know if I say it, but I've heard some friends refer to Jackson as Jeffrica. I'm like,
I think that's a disgrace to Africa, because Africa doesn't look like it. Now, maybe in the slums of Soweto in South Africa,
right,
in the shanty towns or whatever, but no, Africa,
you
a lot of people
like,
have misconceptions about Africa.
Right. Now you sound like brother-in-law Tommy. Tommy tickled me. He said, when people say go to Africa, I'll go. He said, because the parts of Africa I've been to are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
He loves it. Right.
Very, very modern. You know, just look on YouTube at some of the major African cities, and you'll see how nice and well-developed Africa is. Now, you know, a lot of that money is communist money that's developing Africa, which the citizens may have to pay, you know, in the long run. But China has invested a lot of money in Africa.
And many Africans have become millionaires and billionaires from real estate in Africa.
And oil.
I'm like, wow. Yes.
Yeah, and oil. Yeah, Nigeria especially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So shout out to Nigeria. Guess who's in our top 10 of listeners of the podcast? Nigeria.
Nigeria,
yes. They're not top 10. Nigeria listens. So shout out to Nigeria.
Shout out to them, yes.
And everybody, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. That's the next $64,000 question. How we take care of this crime and Jackson and other cities that are dealing with it. Dallas, it handles crime very well, in my thoughts. Jackson is number one in the nation per capita square mile, sadly, as a growing city. We have Atlanta, Chicago. Even the governor talked about how we're because of our capita.
Well, your population. You know what? Jackson is 85 or 90% black.
Right.
That has a lot to do with it.
And you know what? I talk about how peaceful it was when I was in Sherman, Texas, and then I was looking at the stats of Sherman, and Sherman was 77% white. And I'm like, it shouldn't be because of what happens in certain cities. It's because of the racial makeup. But it's not looking good for certain cities. But it's not looking good for certain cities. It's not looking good for certain cities. Yeah.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying it shouldn't be, like, looking at the race. Because, like, Detroit is the top, is the number one, like, mostly black city. Then Jackson is number two. And then people try to talk about Detroit. I never been to Detroit, and I have a lot of friends who love who live in Detroit and from Detroit. And I respect Detroit, and I would love
to
visit. But some people have negative comments to say about Detroit.
Detroit is being revitalized because it was really in the dumps for years. And it was because of it was because you had all those black people living there, and the other races had fled to the suburbs. But I think it's the man who owns Quicken Loans who decided that he was going to revitalize Detroit, and he opened, you know, his business there, Quicken Loans, one of the largest corporations in the country, and located the offices in downtown Detroit, and then they started fixing up buildings, and then a lot of other buildings decided, well, we'll relocate here. And a lot of what went on in Dallas was you had developers who decided that, because one while Dallas was looking pretty bad, especially Northeast Dallas, and it's still full of crime. But a lot of those apartments.
You're talking about the area. You're talking about the area I love. You're talking about the area I love so much, right? Where you all used to live.
Yeah, Northeast.
About
Dallas,
that Northeast.
Area.
Yeah.
But it used to be, or they had a lot of urban blight because a lot of those apartment complexes had become HUD properties, and then they had become havens for crack addicts. And I guess the powers that be said, no, we're not going to let Dallas go the way of a lot of these other cities. We're going to get rid of this mess. So they came in and tore down a lot of those apartment complexes and put up condominiums that poor folks can't afford. And they started putting those malls and shopping centers.
That's what's going on in downtown Jackson. We have a lot of scale condos and lofts. A couple of my friends live in like the artsy lofts, and I think they're inexpensive. They're like $600-$700. But like the other condos and the top of the King Edwards Hotel, they're over grand.
They're way overpriced because look at the location, and you have no amenities.
Right.
And, you know, I'm hearing about they're going to build a grocery store downtown. I'm like, when? And who's going to shop at this grocery store downtown? Why would you be leaving home to go downtown to a grocery store?
Right.
Don't you have to worry about parking if you don't live down there? And I just can't see a downtown grocery store in Jackson, Mississippi, because it's still a lot of blight down there.
Because I loved when I was in Dallas, and I can't wait to come to Dallas next month. But at the West End, I used to love the Dallas Alley. I like that they have a grocery store, like, in that area now. But you're right, that's Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
But people, when they get off work or when they're downtown, they need to go shopping. We have the grocery store and fortification. That's practically downtown. But we'll see what happens. And maybe that's what they're thinking. People are working when people get off work. But downtown Jackson needs to become a tourism site and also an area where people can go on the weekends.
And feel safe.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And feel safe. Because I'm so shocked, Cousin Linda. Ferry Street District is a ghost town. You know, there's the Gino still have his place, and then there's a couple other businesses that are doing really good on Ferry Street. But
what happened to Bell Collective, the so-called millionaires who were going to revitalize Ferry Street? They were supposed to come back for a second season. I hadn't heard a word about them. I knew it was all smoke and mirrors when they first came out with it.
Because Frank Melton had a vision. Well, I guess all of them had a vision. And people are talking now about revitalizing. I was trying to keep my eye on them.
What happened to the lady that's building the so-called tech center? the woman from Atlanta that's taking her own $25 million and going to build a tech center close to downtown down there off of Gallatin and Bailey Avenue, I think.
Oh, well, that's a young lady. She did do that. And she I was watching City Council meeting
completed.
A few months ago. Yeah, well, she's
it's
working
completed.
On some other things. I believe it's completed or almost completed. It's a tech tech project. It's kind of like the green something. She's a millionaire. She sold her company to Amazon and became a millionaire.
Okay, what happened to the woman that was going to revitalize Metro Center? Where is she?
Oh, Cousin Linda. That's a whole nother story. And that's something Metro Center is important to me. In Metro Center and the mall that's in Sherman, Texas, if I could, I would love to get a development team, get you, Jacqueline, together and many others, and we would create a development group. But Metro Center, that lady, oh, my God, is – a couple of weeks ago, they put a lock on the Metro Center. So I guess, yes, on the door. People used to go walk in there.
She took the money and ran, which I figured
is what
she would do.
And that's what some people said from the beginning. Because I think she had been to prison or something, but people believed in her and gave her a second chance.
She had.
Wow, but I know Leroy Walker owned like 60 or 40% of the Metro Center Mall. You know, he used to own most of the McDonald's around here. So I wonder, I don't know what's going on, but they have put locks on the door. The last store left a month ago, Burlington said that their store model.
And they didn't sit there long either, because I remember when they opened that. Kyle telling me about Metro Center had a store, a new store that everybody was going to. And I said, oh, what store is it, Burlington? I'm like, please.
Right. But the city of Jackson is located there, and I think the DMV have an office there where people don't have to go to the main headquarters right here on Woodrow Wilson. But Cousin Linda, that's a beautiful mall, and you know better than me. That's a beautiful mall, and it shouldn't be just sitting there. It's just one of those malls across America that. And you know I did.
I was addicted to it. I used to go 7 days a week. Because when I'd get off work, I'd go to Metro Center. Because I was living at Broadmoor Apartments. You know, that's what, about less than 10 minutes away. And on my off days, I'd go over to Metro
Center. That area is still beautiful. The Westland Plaza and Ellis Avenue, but crime is pretty bad at 80 and Ellis. But I am so surprised and happy that your area, that in Broadmoor Apartments area, and Westland Plaza still beautiful and built up.
Oh,
yeah, it makes me happy. It makes me happy when I see Westland Plaza. I think about Mac Ray's days when Mac Ray's was there.
Yeah.
But that shopping center is still beautiful. Yes, that's a pretty good area. Yes.
Well, Ellis, last time I was there, Ellis Avenue was towed up so bad.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, the street was, many people's cars were damaged on that street. But I think they finally did blacktop that street. But a lot of businesses, but you're right, the crime is bad. Crazy shootings happen in that area. And I don't know why. I guess it's well-populated and whatever. We need to do something about the crime and do like Dallas, knock these old buildings down and put up new buildings. Like areas that you probably found so beautiful, like where the Mississippi Valley Gas used to be, that building just sitting there. Homeless people live around, at the park across the street. And we need to work with my homeless people more here. People are trying their best. But it seems like there are buildings that we could renovate to make housing for the homeless, too. And that's in every city. But definitely we could do our bit.
Well, Jackson has another problem. They're losing their population.
Exactly.
So how you would expect to get a return on your investment when you have people leaving that don't seem to want to come back. Because, number one, why would anybody want to relocate to Jackson? The school system is horrible. You don't have industry. You don't have major businesses that's there anymore. And the crime is horrible. The streets are horrible. No nightlife. What about the library? Do people still go to the library?
That's a whole nother situation. We still have the main one at the old Sears building. COVID restrictions being lifted. I don't know how everything's going on now, because with COVID, people had to make appointments. But, you know, they closed down the one, Tisdale, that was near where Aunt Chris was at on Northside Drive. They closed it down because of different asbestos and a lot of things. Flooding in the building. Even the one downtown, the main one, have issues.
I forgot that y'all were having flooding problems, drinking water problems.
Oh.
So Jackson, the infrastructure, you know, it's just so much that needs to be done before it could be a nice city again.
And that's something that the mayor did. The governor too, about helping out with the infrastructure, and then I guess that money that Biden had signed for the infrastructure across America, you know, we hope that cities across America will get it. Right, because cities like Jackson and many, even you talk about the infrastructure in Dallas, cities big and small need that money.
They do, but. You know, a lot of times politicians grab the money and they run. They don't care anything about the citizens. So somebody needs to be able to have some checks and balances and say, we're going to hold you accountable. We're not going to let you just take the money and leave and you're not prosecuted.
Right.
You know, using what it was intended.
And then some just let it sit there. They do the opposite. They're not stealing it. They're not doing anything, but they don't do anything with it. Like, why is it just sitting there?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it just sitting there when things need to be done?
It seems like people in charge can't or won't get anything done.
Right.
So nobody seems to answer to anybody.
Well, Friday,
a lot of times when I see stuff on Facebook, it's like, well, what can we do? And my thing is, you can vote them politicians out of office. And if you get some who, you know, to replace them who are just as bad, keep voting them out of office. Have recalls. You know,
because
somebody got elected doesn't mean they have to be there forever.
Exactly.
Hold them accountable.
Exactly. I vote across the line. I vote for Bennett Thompson, and I know someone contacted me the other week and want me to join a campaign for someone, and I was like, "Well, I'll check it out." And I know it would have been a good paying gig, but then I look and I'm like, "Wait a second, I vote for Bennett Thompson." They wanted me to work on a campaign for an opponent. I'm like, oh, if it was any other district, but no, not Bennett Thompson. I vote for Bennett Thompson. I need to get Bennett to get back. But they haven't heard back from me, so I guess they got the idea, but I need to get back with them, let them know. I honestly, everybody that knows me know I vote for Bennett Thompson. You know, I vote for the opponent of this person that you want me to campaign for. You know, there's integrity. Even Bennett Thompson know I vote for him, you know, of course. And so I'm like, they hadn't heard back from me, and not being disrespectful, they hear back from me, though. I just hadn't had the time. But when I seen who they were running against, I'm like, oh, I can't. I thought it was maybe somebody I could work on their campaign and learn and also use my knowledge. But I'm like, there's integrity. And some people, though, they're for the money. I see what you're saying, though. And people, I try to figure out, how do politicians change? Because most politicians start from the grassroots, even if their family, even if they're from political families, they start from the grassroots level. And I'm always trying to figure out, where do they change?
Money. James Brown came out with a song about money won't change you, but yes, it will.
Right. And see, I could have easily said, I could easily worked on that campaign. Like, dang, I vote for Benny Thompson, but I sure need that money. You know? So I sure need that money. But, wow. The money. But you would think they would want to stick to their platforms and stick to what the people are telling them that they need.
Benny Thompson is a good, one of my late friends was a good friend of his. They had been knowing each other, I think, for about 12 and 13 years old. So that was the first time I had ever heard of Benny Thompson was back in the late 60s.
Yes.
And this friend of mine was telling me something about Benny Thompson. And then when he started running, you know, in the political arena, that's when I called her and talked to her about it. And we were so glad when he got elected the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And they remained friends until her death because I was at her funeral.
Uh-huh. And he was there.
It was somebody else's funeral. Yeah, she was supposed to go to one of our former classmates' funeral. I was going to go by and pick her up, but she got sick that day.
Benny
came to the funeral, and I told him who I was. So, I'm sure she had mentioned me to him.
Yes.
But, very, very nice. Shook my hand and everything.
Right. Right. And I think he does his best to stick with what the people need and deserve. And he and Liz Cheney are doing a good job with this case and this investigation. And they're working, they're working together, bipartisan. Working together, you know, and even before that, he did his best to try to get the money, and that's what the mother told me. She said, when you do run for office, you get in a position where you can help the people with the money, baby. So you remind me that, Cousin Linda, when I run for an office, help the people with the money. So that's what mom like, when you run for an office, you be sure you run for a position where you can really, really make a difference and help people. Not just any position, but the right position.
Right.
But you're right. But sure.
Like, once they get elected, it's like they forget the constituents.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
and then
what's
really going on here?
Yeah, when it's campaign time, I start getting campaign information from politicians that I have never heard of ever.
Right.
And I'm like, well, why haven't I heard from you before now? You know, and then you'll see ads on TV or hear ads on the radio. And whether they get elected or not, you don't hear from them after the election. You hear nothing from these people.
And show up at your church. Right.
Oh, yes. Now, it was one politician here. This man was mayor of Dallas for a very short time, and I can't remember his name. This was a white guy, a white Republican.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Oh, my God. His name was on my tongue. He was after Ron, right?
No, this man was before Ron. This was back there when I was still living in Northeast Dallas. And
you're talking about back then.
Because he was saying how he was going to do this and that and the other and call his office and blah, blah, blah. He had a town hall meeting, and Diane and I went to the meeting, and that's when I found out, he was saying, if you have an issue with whatever, call my office. And so I did have some issue. I don't remember what it was, and I called his office, and I didn't get to talk to him, but I talked to someone who worked in the mayor's office who got whatever it was I was concerned about resolved. And I tell you, another politician, former governor of Mississippi, Bill Lane.
That happened with me recently. So shout out to Mayor Lumumba's office. That happened with me recently. I got in touch with the mayor's office, and the office handled it for me. So big shout out to you all. Okay.
Well, a shout out to the late former governor of Mississippi, Bill Lane.
Mom and I loved him.
I think everybody did. Yeah, because he was when he was campaigning, he was saying, you know, if he was elected, you could contact his office for whatever. And I did.
Right.
At results, I was having an issue with Camelot Apartments. They didn't want to give me my
deposit.
Yeah, and so I called them, and the person that I spoke with told me they would give Camelot Apartments 2 weeks to resolve the issue. And in 2 weeks, they called me to see if the issue had been resolved, if I had gotten my deposit back. And I said no. And they said, well, give me a number where I can reach you. I said, same number. And in a few minutes, the man called me back and told me when I could expect my refund. And I sure got it. So that's two politicians who I can. And I'm sorry, I can't remember that mayor's name. It seemed like it's something Steve. Last name started with a B. I can't remember.
It's the one that I don't. I'll look it up. Right, he handled his business, right?
Yeah, because Diane and I went to the town hall meeting. I don't know what made us go, because I'm always a Democrat, and he was a Republican, and I don't even know if I voted for the man. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I just decided to, like, look up the mayor that you're talking about, and there's been a shooting in Dallas. There's been a shooting at a retail place in Dallas that just popped up.
Goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Do you have it on?
What place is it?
I'm on MSN. You know MSN News. And I'm waiting for it to pop up again. The first story that popped up was Dallas. There's been a shooting at a retail location.
Multiple people shot, one killed in Dallas. Let's see. This is ABC News.
Okay. What's going on?
Let's see. Multiple people were shot and one killed. Well, this was Saturday night in Dallas. They just had something today at this time. Let's see. Let me make sure this is.
Okay, because this popped 20th. Up.
Uh-huh. At this time, I can confirm one individual was shot and transported to a local hospital where they died from their injuries. The Dallas Police Department told ABC News multiple individuals were also shot and injured during this incident. This is an active investigation, and information is limited. That's it. Let me see if I can find some other news.
Okay, I have CNN. Who do you have?
Let me check Fox out, because they usually had a 411. One critically injured, people wounded in South Dallas shooting. Dallas police said this was Saturday night. The shooting happened just after midnight in the 5200 block of Botham John Boulevard near C.F. Hahn Freeway. Yeah, that's South Dallas. Few details have been released about what led to the shooting, but police said multiple people were shot. One of the victims was taken to a local hospital in critical condition. That must be one that died. So Fox hadn't updated their news. But
CNN. It's not far from the Dallas Zoo. It's not far from the Dallas Zoo, 175.
I think that's the Hahn Freeway.
It's near the park. It's near the Wim Blair Jr. Park. I'm looking at a map. Mm-hmm. Not too far from Deep Ellum.
That Botham John is down there by Deep Ellum. Because, you know, that they named that part of whatever street it was after him. Okay,
yeah,
I pulled up WAPT. They ain't got any. They don't have anything. Let me see who else is here. CBS, CBSW.
Stepped away from the podcast. Look up the mayor that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Here it is again. ABC News. It was first story popped up.
Okay, at Dallas Party Venue. Let's see. And this is way down the line. I'm on one of the local channel networks. And it's like maybe number five or six, CBS DFW. Multiple people hurt after gunfire erupts at Dallas Party Venue. Multiple people were hurt, one critically, after gunfire erupted at a party venue in Dallas early Sunday. Police and paramedics got the call at a place called The Space, located on Bocomjohn Boulevard, just south of the Sea of Han Freeway. Multiple ambulances were called to the scene, but Dallas police didn't provide any information Sunday morning on how many people were shot or how many or how any
they
others
sure did,
because
neither one of us seen. Neither one of us had heard this story until now. Wow.
I watched part of the local news this morning, and if they said anything, I didn't see it. And they still haven't updated any information. Let's see here. I don't see it.
I wonder who's. Wow.
Let's see. Who was?
Yeah, that's the first time I've seen that story. I've seen that. Wow. And we've been on the hot topics. We didn't get a chance. To ask you about, and while we're on politics, you had mentioned, you and Mike mentioned Abbott on Friday, and I try to keep up with the Beto and Abbott, so I already know who you're voting for. And I believe that I probably would vote for Beto also. He's doing a really great job campaigning.
Yes, he has.
Uh-huh. I love to reshare his Facebook lives, but then I try to share both their when I see news on both. But I love how he go to where the people are and talk directly to the people, even when it's not campaign season. Even when it's not campaign season, like you were just mentioning, you hear from people only when it's campaign season. But he's actually out there when it's not campaign season.
Yeah. I'm still looking for this mayor. Stark Taylor.
I was trying to figure. The first story popped up, multiple people shot and killed in Dallas. We have not heard anything. Oh, you know,
Dick Bartlett.
We talked about Virginia.
Okay.
What's his name?
There was one Stark Taylor, that was 83 to 87, so that must have been who, I don't know why I was thinking it was Steve Bartlett, but that was 91 to 95, so Diane wasn't alive then, so this must have been Stark Taylor, who was the mayor that I called his office and got some results. But I still
and
was
he
Steve
handled
Bartlett
the business.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, Steve Bartlett must have handled something. I don't know why I remember his name, because I remember the first name Steve and last name started with a B. So he must have done something for me, too. I'm going to go ahead and give him a shout-out.
Yeah, shout him out. But he said, call my office, and you held him to it, and he sure did. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know, not just get elected and forget the people and, you know, just go on about your business and the heck with y'all and you don't hear from them anymore until it's re-election time. Because I know I voted, I don't know, I think it was late February or early February or whenever we had some kind of election. And I tell you, I don't remember recognizing anybody's name. So I was just, you know, kind of like eeny, meeny, miny, moe. And a lot of people ran unopposed. So I went ahead, since they were running unopposed, I just went ahead and voted for them. And after the election, because I voted early, and then after I voted, I really started receiving campaign stuff in the mail. And I said, they need to start getting this stuff out earlier, so at least I will know what
right.
your platform is and what you intend to do, you know, what lies you're going to tell. But
exactly.
Last Sunday,
I reminded people, it's primaries June the 7th. When are primaries in, are they June 7th there too? I mean, I assume it's the same date across the country, unless it's special elections. Because I know some states will
have
special elections.
Local elections, you know, mayors, city council folks, judges, and positions that I don't even know what my school board.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
I know June is 7th and then November. June 7th and then November. That's Prince's birthday. Well, for Mississippi, and I'm wondering if across the nation, if that's primary for most.
Well, I don't know.
I need to look that up. Yeah, you're right. It's the national, and then it's the special elections and the re-elections and the people that's not running again. Yeah. But this is considered the midterm year.
Mm-hmm.
So the mayor of Carrollton, is a female or male?
I don't know. I don't think I get to vote for the mayor of Carrollton because officially my address is Dallas.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
I live in Carrollton, but my address, my zip code is a Dallas zip code. Because when I call Dallas and give them my zip code, the first thing they want to know is, do I live in Denton County? And they want to refer me to Denton County. It's like, well, this is not a county issue. This is a city issue. Because I used to have to go back and forth between Dallas and Denton. And I'd be telling the Denton folks that the Dallas people told me to call them. And they said, well, you live in Dallas and we don't handle this. So I called Dallas and said, well, Denton said so-and-so. And so it was just the biggest mess. And people act like this part of Dallas doesn't really exist. You don't hear from anybody until it's election time when you start getting stuff in the mail from folks' campaigns. But if you need something, you know, city services or whatever, so what's your zip code? Oh, that's Denton County. Yeah, I know, but it's a city matter. And they you have to call this other number. I'm like, oh, mercy.
And then they shut up because you let them know this is a city issue. It's not a county issue. I know what county to call.
Mm-hmm.
This is city issue.
Mm-hmm.
I called the right number.
Exactly.
Right. Oh, my goodness. But when it's election time, they have no problem figuring it out.
Right.
So with anything on your mind regarding sports? Because, we have really talked about our hot topics, and I talked a little bit about Tom Brady. I'm not surprised that he announced he was unretired. I didn't think he was retired in the first place. And then
I
had a lot going on with those.
I was shocked when he announced he was retiring. But
exactly.
I thought he meant it. So I don't know. He doesn't need the money. What does he need? He's got, what, 7 Super Bowl rings?
Right.
So what is
it's not about the money. And I was reading the contract. You're right. It's not about the Super Bowl either. You're right. It's not about the Super Bowl either because he's won so many.
7. So
that he's still in good health and he want to play some more. Because I thought about happy wife, happy life, that he wanted to go ahead and retire because, okay, let me save my marriage. But then I thought about it, you know, he's still in good shape and want to play some more. He might not be fun to be around if he's not able to do what he want to do. So the wife is thinking, okay, go ahead and play some more.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody can be happy.
you know, like boxers come out of retirement all the time, but it's usually because they need money. And
right.
they don't have any intentions of winning the fight. They just need the money, you know, because sometimes the purse is so big. Because I don't know who was fighting one time. I don't know if it was Mike Tyson or whom. But I think the loser was going to get about 15 or 20 million. I'm like, shoot, I'll get in the ring for that. I can give you about
right.
12 or 13 seconds.
Because when Holmes got in the ring with him again, remember when Holmes came out of retirement and got in the ring with him? I'm like, you know,
yeah.
some people were against it, but I'm like, Holmes thinking about that money too. Like, wait a second.
Yeah, you know, I think they think twice if the purse wasn't so large. But like I said, even the loser
right.
gets all this money now. So, yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'll put on some Everlast gloves and jump around and dance in the ring for that kind of money.
Hate to get better, but that money, that bank will be happy. Right.
Yeah, look, that's enough money to buy you some good health. Somebody punch you in the head
right.
or punch you below the belt. You know, that's okay.
Like
you,
Russell
you
Wilson invests $1 million a year. Like
mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson invests $1 million a year into his body so he can play to 45. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so Tom Brady, I believe that after he wins his next Super Bowl, which will maybe be in like 2 to 3 years, then he will retire on top. But I didn't
Who?
Think he would retire, not after Tom Brady.
Tom
after
Brady.
He wins a Super Bowl in 2 to 3 years, then he will retire. I believe he want to win one more Super Bowl. Then he will retire.
For what? To make it a even number, number 8?
And you know what, Cousin Linda? It might be
yeah.
something like that. It might be something like that. Look, Cousin Linda, you know what? It might be something like that. He want to round it
yeah.
off to an even number.
Yeah, he wants a ring on each finger.
I should tweet him and ask him, hey, you need to listen to our podcast, because we are trying to figure out what is encouraging you. We think you want to round the numbers off.
What other accolade could he be striving for?
I think
he's
in good health. He loved the game. And when he retired, he want to retire on top after a Super Bowl.
Didn't he do that already?
He didn't win a Super Bowl this year.
He didn't
go to the Super Bowl, and then he was bloody. That's not a good look to retire, Cousin Linda. And I'm sure that's what he's saying.
When you get that old, that's and I mean playing football.
When he retired, he
want to
win a Super Bowl
golf.
And not. When he win a Super Bowl, when he retired, he want to win a Super Bowl. You're right. Round it out to an even number for 8 fingers, and you never know, Cousin Linda. He might want to win one for each thumb. And he would probably like to look like a model. Not be bloodied like he was.
Well, he might want to, you know, quit while he's ahead, whatever kind of way. Because, I mean, at his age, he is subjected to concussions, broken bones. And what is
but
that
you didn't have to tell Troy Aikman. You didn't have to tell Troy Aikman twice, huh? Those concussions,
no,
Troy Aikman was
Troy.
Like, I'm out of here. Troy Aikman was like, I'm out of here.
And getting $90 million a year to be a sportscaster. So,
well, and congratulations. Congratulations, Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman and the other sports guys. They would be doing Monday Night
mm-hmm.
Football. So congrats on that.
Yes. So I don't want to stay
yeah.
in Tom myself. Just because you didn't win the Super Bowl this year, that's nothing to be ashamed of. Look at your past record. How many other folks can say that? They haven't done what he's done. So
I think we have figured it out, Cousin Linda. I think we have figured
okay.
it out, and it's a very simple reason. It's a very superstitious reason, too. You know how superstitious some athletes can be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm saying quit while you're ahead, old man. Because that is not a sport for old men. Now, if he were a golfer.
Even Tiger Woods, like, I can only do this part-time now.
So, I don't know. Well, more power to
him.
Oh,
my God. An old man? He's probably like, oh, I'm going to show you all who the old man is.
To be a
so, see, you all are daring him. See, sports fans like you are encouraging him. I'm going to show you who an old man is.
He ain't got to show me nothing. I'm impressed. I'm not even a Tom Brady fan, but I must say I am impressed. I go along with the fact
he was
that
mom's favorite
of all time.
Mom loved New Orleans, and she loved the Cowboys. He was mom's favorite player, and mom loved the Saints, and she loved the Cowboys, but Tom Brady was her favorite, and Steph Curry was her favorite basketball player. So when my LeBron played her Steph Curry, it was on.
Oh, well, I like LeBron for his sanitarianism. And I Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, he is amazing.
Yeah, I like that.
You talking about somebody that should become a politician. Now, wow. But he is amazing. And look at the commercials that he, oh, my goodness, how many commercials are he in?
He's a big pitch
man.
The general
and he randomly does awesome things for people. I mean, I see stories where he just one time he was in a jewelry store and this guy was buying an engagement ring. He paid for the engagement ring.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was in a furniture store and he bought like furniture for people that were in the store. I'm like this. I mean, he just randomly does things and show up at things, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, I said, you know, I said at the beginning that I like him for his humanitarianism. He's such a good person.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I knew you were speaking to that, and I'm like, yes, he's just I think he even says he's not a celebrity. He doesn't even look at himself as a celebrity. You know. Yeah, I guess just a popular person, just a well-known person. So that's awesome, and that's what we were talking about. And see, when you earlier you mentioned your home training, one's home training.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be a bitter person at all.
Right.
Because you know,
and we're running out of
time.
Some people what?
Oh, I was just going to say, some people get old and they get mad because they no longer have their youth and they start becoming bitter.
Right.
But he doesn't seem to be that type
right.
of person.
And I've never heard his ex-wife say anything bad about him. And that's good, too. I think they've done a great job co-parenting. And going on with their lives, because you know he's one that celebrity you don't hear like, oh, he and his ex when they were in love and married, and then when they divorced, you didn't hear anything about this and that and craziness. We're about to run out of time, but what are your thoughts regarding Jussie Smollett?
I think he stayed in jail. Did you see my Dave Chappelle thing on Juicy Smollett?
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't tag me. And you know, I was a big fan of Empire, and I loved him too. And some people, Fox Network, your Hannity guy, one of those guys talked about his non-acting. You know, when he made his did that performance in the courtroom, and people talked about his acting skills. I'm like, oh.
I liked him on Empire, but when he came up with this fake mess about MAGA and homophobia, that made
right.
a lot of people look bad because
right.
you lied,
right?
And you didn't have to do
right.
that. That's what hurts.
He didn't
me.
Have to do that, Mm-hmm. When that happened, it hurt me to find out that it was a hoax. Because sometimes people like me, you know, sometimes I get bullied. And so, yeah, it hurts because some people really do get bullied.
Yeah.
You know?
And then
so there are people that really do go through that. So you're right. When it first happened, I thought it was real, too, because I'm like.
Well, it didn't sound real to me. It sounded fake. I'm going to have to find that Dave Chappelle thing about Juicy Smollett because none of that stuff made sense
from
the beginning. It sounded like a lie to me. And then see, because you have gay people who are actually bullied just because they're gay. You have people who are bullied just because they're black or Asian or Latinx or whatever. And then there he is lying.
Mike will come to me all the time. Because Mike, our co-host, he comes to me all the time if I made a crazy comment about being gay on his page. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're sure right about that.
Yeah, so he shouldn't have been lying because it makes it hard for people who are bullied. Actually, it's hard for them to be believed now. So,
yes.
I'm going to find that Dave Chappelle thing and it to
but
you.
I hear that Cook County jail ain't nothing to play with, Cousin Linda. So,
well, if he hadn't lied, he wouldn't have to worry
so
about
Cook County jail.
Guilty.
Was no place for him, don't you think? Cook County jail was no
Why?
Place for him, don't you think?
Why? What? No.
Beverly
look,
said
he
hello. Beverly, I got to stir it up talking about Justice Smollett.
Beverly
said hi, Cousin Linda. Cousin Linda, Beverly said hi.
Hey, Cousin Beverly. But if he hadn't lied, he wouldn't have to worry about Cook County Jail. That's his fault. He brought that on himself.
Because I heard, oh, my goodness, 150 days, nothing nice. In that jail, that's like the worst. I hear that is a tough jail.
Well, maybe that'll teach him not to tell stories. To be more
so you agree,
truthful.
Judge, when the judge. So you agree with the judge when the judge went off on him? You agree with the judge when the judge went off on him?
Yes.
Well, his brother and all was concerned. He didn't eat for 7 days, Cousin Linda. He only had water.
Well, it is called jail. You don't go. See, that's the problem we were talking about earlier. These prisoners have all these privileges and stuff. So maybe if they started punishing them in jail, they'd fly right.
And they complained. And then I think they were upset, too, because he didn't get a regular bed for several days. I guess he was on a cot.
Oh, poor
for several days, he didn't get a regular bed. I wonder how many other prisoners had regular beds. I wonder how many other regular prisoners have regular beds. How many other prisoners have regular beds?
Why should he get special treatment? Just because his name Justice Smollett? And he was on Empire. And like I said, I love him on Empire. I really did. He was one of my favorite
I'm a big fan and supporter of his. So I'm not making any comments. I was concerned, too. I'm like, Cook County Jail. Oh, my God.
Well, maybe he should have committed that crime in a city where they are very lenient on prisoners rather than Chicago. You gotta watch this Dave Chappelle.
Well, the prisoners probably would have been nice to him. Look, they probably would have been nice
would.
To him, but I guess he said he didn't want to find out. I guess he said,
they
I don't
nice
want
to
find out.
They were nice to the murderer, the slasher, O.J. Simpson. They were nice to the rapist, Bill Cosby. So they'd have been nice to him.
The performance worked.
Yeah, it did. It got him out, but he'll be back up in there.
Oh, no, Cousin Linda. You think he's going to end up doing something else, huh?
Uh-huh.
But it was
all, okay,
but it was all on surveillance, and then the But look, it was on surveillance, and then the other the African brothers, they admitted it, didn't they?
Yes. So
didn't the African
like
brothers admit that it was on?
They were going down, and they were like, oh, hell no, this little $5,000 we got ain't worth it. We going to talk. We're going to be like the canary. We're going to sing.
Because they decided, wait, they decided we're not going to jail.
Not for this. Uh-uh.
So I...
And that little...
So I wonder where is he now?
$2,500 a piece. Uh-uh. But I mean, you just look,
look
at
they spent
it
that that evening.
Sense.
Look. That little $2,500 is gone within 2 hours.
Amen. They probably, like you said, spent it in a matter of minutes. Because, I mean, they won't buy much of nothing these days, nothing of value, you know.
Right.
Your Air Jordan
yeah.
costs that. You can't even get a good Cartier watch for $2,500. That won't buy
those health conscious guys, they grocery cost about $1,000.
Amen.
Right. Because they look like they're real health conscious, too. So, God, that's
very.
That grocery.
So, I guess they said, we are not taking the rap for this. No, brother, you on your own. See, he should have come up, if he was going to lie, he should have come up with something a whole lot better than that. I don't have the best imagination in the world, but I could have come up with something else.
and being an actor, writer.
Talking about somebody urinated on him and what are they calling? I forgot what they called him, but and talking about they had on some MAGA hats. I'm like, you a MAGA folks. They don't know you.
And that's what got me, because I'm like, at that time, I didn't know, you know, who was going to get so crazy. But that was when I was being bullied. I'm like, oh, my God, this is sad. This is really going out of hand. I believed them, too. But then I heard on Super Talk, a political radio station here, I heard the whole say from the beginning that it was fake. It was a hoax. And then I'm like, wait a second.
What?
That these people got an inside. They got the inside story. Early on, the news was out that it was not for real. Then I was like, "That's not a good look."
Think about it.
That is not good if it's a hoax.
Why would he be walking around in Chicago that time of morning and from the subway restaurant and some black, some white guys? They just automatically knew who he was. So
and if they did, they would have asked for his autograph. They would have asked for his autograph,
like,
even the ones wearing the MAGA hats. Because I know a lot of my friends, and I know they, you know, supporters, MAGA supporters, they love Empire. And they would have wanted his autograph. So, you
know,
you don't know who your fans are, just like this podcast. I mean, it's amazing the people that are fans of this podcast. You don't know who your fans are, and that probably hurt a lot of people that wear MAGA hats because they're like, oh, I love that guy. that divided the country.
Yeah.
But then a lot of woke people, that hurt a lot of woke people. Even Bill Biden, all of us that are woke, We believe that, but then I did hear early on it was a hoax, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, if it's really a hoax, oh, my God. And then it turned out to be. I was like, dang.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if he could have made it 150 days. I don't know. House arrest until this appeal process ends.
Why is he getting special treatment? If his name wasn't Juicy Smollett or Justice Smollett, he probably wouldn't be getting, you know, what if his name was Keyshawn Abdullah? He wouldn't be getting special treatment. Or if his name
Keyshawn
was,
Abdullah still be in jail. Keyshawn Abdullah would be in jail right now, Sunday evening, playing cards.
Devontae, Shaquarius, they be up in the
jail. He'll be in jail right now.
That's right.
Look, because what evening was that? That was like a Thursday evening or Tuesday evening. And it just came out of blue. It popped up on my Facebook page, and he was getting ready to be released. And I'm like, what? And the comments, I think I immediately tagged you, too. And the comments, I was so took up the comments because people were saying just what you were saying, privilege. They were like, that's what privilege is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what privilege
is. Be something different if he hadn't lied.
White and black people.
I'd feel a whole lot differently.
Right.
But since he lied and made
right,
up
you make
that
a good
mess,
point.
And I'm not a Trump supporter nor a MAGA supporter, but he lied
I know.
On those people. So... I just
right.
I'm sorry I can't be in his corner for
and that didn't help
liable.
With the climate that didn't help with the climate that we were dealing with at that
no.
time too.
And if
we,
you
we
lie
were dealing
about
with
that,
some stuff.
What else will you lie about? You know,
right?
And in the future, if something really does happen to him, are we going to believe him? As you know.
Oh my God. You make a good point. When he was saying, I'm not suicidal, was he really saying, I'm suicidal? That might be why his family was trying to get him out. That might be why his family was...
Yeah, because he probably
you make
was
a good
really
point.
Afraid. Yeah, and he probably didn't think he was going to be able to survive in the Cook County Jail. So, yeah, he probably was looking for
he was like, if
out.
Something happened to me, if I'm some opposite. I am
mm-hmm.
suicidal. Oh, you make a good point. Why should we believe you when you just scream out, I'm not suicidal? I didn't think about that. Because he was like, if something
mm-hmm.
happened to me, I'm not suicidal. But then his family said he didn't eat for 7 days, just drank water. I mean, nobody was trying to poison him. And I'm sure, I'm like you, I'm sure the food was decent enough for him to nibble on something.
Yeah, just hungry enough to eat anything, because I know when I was in jail down there at the fairgrounds during the Civil Rights Movement, I ate a lot of stuff I didn't think I'd eat, like grits and cornbread.
You took me about those grits.
That's a terrible combination, grits and cornbread, but it was real good after a couple of days.
And I love me some cheese grits, but you took me about having to wash those plates. You
yes.
took me by having to wash those, you have to wash them, and grits are hard to wash and get every little crumb.
Yes, I never could
get every little
crumb. Yeah, I always had to go back and start all over and try to wash them dishes again. So I learned, you know, quit getting grits because you can't clean them. But...
Wow.
Yeah, just if he had gotten hungry enough, he ate something. I'm sure he did more than water. He doesn't know anything
yep.
about fasting. Mm-hmm.
That's the case. He would have been praying. But look, somebody said some prayers were answered. I guess when they told him, well, we're going to release you to the appeal. But what if the appeal doesn't go in his favor? Then he got to go right back. But hopefully it goes in his favor.
Yeah.
Well, you
yeah.
all say he's
anyway,
deferred at 150.
Yeah. Well, the news is on, cuz, and I'm going to go ahead and sign off.
And it's time to conclude, and we're praying for Kanye. We're praying for Ye and Kim.
Okay, bye.
Next Sunday's the Grammys. Not the Grammys, the Oscars. Yes, yeah, so thank you all for tuning in to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. It's been fun, and happy birthday to Michael again, our co-host. It's been a fun episode talking with Cousin Linda, discussing Tom Brady at the very end, talking sports. Shout out to Jackson State Lady Tigers for having an awesome season. They didn't win when they played LSU on yesterday, but they had an awesome season, and JSU is just awesome. So a shout out to JSU and to the SWAC also.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with the Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit irs.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
Well, tomorrow would be Culture Shock Entertainment Report's 11th birthday, March the 21st. So please tune in on tomorrow as we celebrate the birthday. The show promo will be up this evening for today. My friend Shanna J Music will be guest next month talking about the art of yoga, and also her music and life and hot topics. So looking forward to that. The promo will be up soon for that show. Also, we just confirmed that she will come on early next month. So just need to set the date and the time, which probably be a Sunday afternoon and in early April, and it will be on. She is located in Pennsylvania. So looking forward to hearing as we talk about self-care, taking care of ourselves. It's important to talk to another person who is an expert in yoga and beating pain. She does amazing practices in yoga, and looking forward to hearing her practices and also about her music. And again, we will be talking about matters of what's going on in the world. So looking forward to that. Remember to, before the show is concluded, remember to email me at Culture Shock Entertainment Reports, KULTRESHOKENT_BET@yahoo.com. KULTRESHOKENT_BET@yahoo.com. Those that send amazing music, remember send your music, excuse me, in forms of files, WMA, WAV, and MP3 format, okay? 100 MB limit. Again, those of you that send me awesome music to add to the playlist, send it in WMA, WAV, WAV, and MP3 format, 100 MB limit. Thank you so much for sending awesome music. Artists and groups that would like to come on and talk, please do let us know. Again, thank you to Josh Huff, who appeared last Sunday, shared great information about his business, the Transformation Collective, very good friend of Michael's, and also Michael's a part of his program located in Annapolis, Maryland. Again, Michael, if you're listening, happy birthday. Hope you're having so much fun. So much fun. And you know what I'm thinking. I feel like saying something, but I won't say it. Naughty, naughty. But I hope you're having a happy birthday, Michael. Stevens, one of the co-hosts. And Cousin Linda, thank you so much for calling in. It was amazing to talk with you about hot topics, things happening, even breaking news happening in Dallas, Tom Brady's retirement. Cousin Linda refers to Tom as the old man. Come on, Tom, and show them what you can do. And are we right? Do you want to round those rings out to number 8 so you can show those 8 fingers? I'm thinking now you might want to add rings to those thumbs too. But big shout out. Happy for you coming back to play. I mean, you're in the shape to play. You know, let's show them how it's done. You know, that's what I'm thinking. I'm happy that you're back, and I'm glad your wife and family are supporting you on this. Shout out to the Cowboys, the Mavs. Look, we're in March Madness, but then we also have NBA playoffs, baseball season kicking off. There's so much news, so much to talk about. So you all don't hesitate to call us when we're on live, and also check in the chat room. I didn't even open the chat room up. So if anybody was in the chat room, my apologies. But always save the number, 516-595-8255. 516-595-8255. And again, we're in birthday mode. So many birthdays are happening, even the show. The podcast was created on March 21st, 2011, and this is the 11th birthday of Culture Shock Entertainment Report. So a big shout out and a big thank you to the staffers, and a big thank you also to all the listening community, also all from around the world. Let's see. Before the show conclude, if I can pull up. Pull up the top five countries. Of course, the United States, Canada, big shout out. Germany, France, Ireland, big shout out to you guys. Big shout out to Peru. Prayers to you all. Had that sad landslide last week. Nigeria, Spain, UK, France, Germany, Finland, India, Philippines, Australia, Japan, and South Korea. Thank you all, of everybody from right here in Jackson, Mississippi, Dallas, Minneapolis, New York, small towns, villages, on the island. Have many friends out vacationing. Those of you having fun spring break, those of you that are working abroad and in the military, thank you for your love and support. We have Easter coming up on April the 17th. We have Memorial Day, first day of spring. I know a lot of people still under a lot of snow. I mentioned before recently that one of my friends called me from North Dakota, and they're under like 4 and 5 feet of snow. He and his kids, they turned the phone around where I could see all the snow. It snowed 4 and 5 feet. I'm like, wow. Oh, my God. Just looking at it, it was like 40 degrees here in Jackson, Mississippi, and I was freezing. Oh, big shout out to Denmark. Didn't see that. So thank you. Those are the top 10, you guys. I know. Thank you all for your support. Support from amazing places. And I need to learn how to say hello in each country's language that are in the top 10. But when you go to the schedule, you will see Wednesday show. There will be a show scheduled for Monday for the birthday episode for March the 21st. And you will see a schedule for Friday and Sunday also. So I really thank you all for your love, for your support. And the show will be concluding in a bit, but I will play a couple more PSAs and music. So again, have a happy first week of spring. Look forward to you joining us on tomorrow to celebrate the 11th birthday of Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. Next Sunday, we will talk Oscars and other hot topics and celeb news. I thank you so much and really appreciate you. That would be March the 27th. Saturday, we're celebrating our St. Patty's Day Parade, which have been on hiatus the past couple of years. My little niece and I, we had so much fun in 2019. We haven't had a St. Patty's Day parade since 2019 because, you know, COVID reared its ugly head early 2020. And so we didn't have a parade last year in 2020.
Every year, thousands of teens age out of foster care and face life on their own without the love and support of a family. For over 25 years, the Orphan Foundation of America has provided a safety net of support for these vulnerable young people. With OFA's help, these youth graduate from college and grade school, progress to exciting professional careers, and make the leap from foster care to success. Find out how you can support America's foster youth. Log on to orphan.org. That's orphan.org.
You hear that? That's the sound of healthy, safe water from the tap. And that safe water is available nearly everywhere in America, thanks in large part to the Safe Drinking Water Act, which turns 40 this year. Happy birthday, Safe Drinking Water Act. Together, let's keep our water safe for the next 40 years and beyond. To learn about how to protect your water, visit drinktap.org. This message brought to you by the American Water Works Association and United Water.
If you or someone you care about is struggling with substance use, don't wait to get help. Call the Addiction Resource Center's free alcohol and drug helpline. Our counselors provide confidential support and connections to local resources 24/7, 365 days a year. We're a nonprofit organization started by families who have been where you are, and we're not affiliated with any treatment centers or providers. Call us at 1-833-301-HELP. That's 1-833-301-HELP. Or visit us at addictionresourcecenter.org. Addiction is...